Well, good evening, everyone. What a great church. How refreshing it is. Thanks for the privilege of letting us come and be with you tonight. And thank you for the worship. Thank you, Pastor Ray. Man, praise the Lord. What a great job you've done since 2001 in this church. And it's just obvious. You know, as you go across America, there's a lot of things you observe. And you observe many times churches that are dead and don't know it, and some that do know it and don't care, but you see churches like yours that has life and gives life and provides life. So thank you for giving me life tonight. Thanks for letting me come. Really do appreciate it. It's a real, real privilege. I love the state of Alabama now that you have three of my grandsons. I love them any more. And I want to make that clear. And you know, I have friends here tonight from a long time ago. When I was a seminary student, 5 miles from me was a pastor by the name of Van Galte, right there. And Van and Sue were our friends. Now, they were, I thought they were already in their 50s then. I don't know that. But they seemed awful old to me, Pastor, you know. But no, I'm just kidding. But they were great friends and helped us through being that young pastor. And who would have thought it, Pastor Van? Here we are in the state of Alabama. You got your Texas Longhorn shirt on still. I'm surprised you haven't been hung in Alabama. One of the things I love about Alabama, they take their football real, real seriously. And I love football. In fact, the Auburn coach came out of my church. That's right. Gus Malzahn, y'all, listen, here's the deal. When he wins, he's my boy. When he loses, he's y'all's, all right? And they're dear friends of ours. In fact, Gina communicated with Christy yesterday, and we love the University of Alabama Crimson Tide also. And my son is the head football coach at Hewitt Trustful High School. They moved here 4 years ago. He's starting his fourth season, and they're blessed. They have three boys. And then my son, Nick and Meredith, they have four kids. So they started having kids and didn't stop. It's amazing. They even adopted one. And so we have four little kids back home and three here in Alabama. And so it's a joy. It really is. What a blessed time to be alive today. I mean, you think about it, all the time in human history, God has you alive. He's got you alive now. I mean, that's pretty amazing, especially with all that's going on in the world. And what a tremendous opportunity. You know, I'm from Northwest Arkansas now. I'm a Texas boy. And the Lord moved me to Arkansas. And for some reason, you know, He has wanted me there all my years. I've been there 30 years as pastor. Went there as a boy preacher. And we're the home of J.B. Hunt, Tyson Foods, and Walmart, and the University of Arkansas, all right? We live about 12 minutes from the University of Arkansas, and so we're up in hog country. And somebody said, you a Longhorn fan still or a hog fan? Well, it's just real clear. The moment I crossed the Red River and I realized who paid my bills from then on, I became a Razorback fan. And so that's what I am. I know who to go with. And so I'm really thankful. And, you know, so here's the key is, here's the way y'all need to do it. Now, when y'all see a J.B. Hunt truck, y'all need to pray for me, all right? Eat more chicken and more beef. That's Tyson bread. And always go to Walmart. And when you do that, our offerings are going to increase. And so y'all need to help a brother out, okay? And also pray for the hogs, even though you don't care. All right. Tonight, I want to talk to you about something that's hot on my heart. As I really prayed through what I'm to do tonight, after talking with the pastor, I had a deep sense that I needed to come for this specific purpose. That doesn't mean that this specific purpose is never articulated here. I can pretty well assure you it is. But I, as I travel and I look and I read and I see and I listen, I just think we had better learn to navigate through the days in which we live. Let me ask you, are you concerned about where we are in America? You say, well, that's political. No, it's not political. Don't go there with me. I'm not going there with you. It's not about political. I'm talking about the spiritual condition of this country. I believe in being involved in the political system. I believe that God has given us the greatest country in the world to live in. We need to be involved. We need to do what we can to make a difference. I believe that. I am that. And I will forever be that. But the greatest need in America is a spiritual need. And there's just certain things that doesn't matter what happens in the system. The system is broken because of what happened in Genesis 3 when Adam and Eve fell in the garden. And you can only make it look pretty and feel pretty so long. But it's just like your body. It doesn't matter how much you work out, how much you eat right, you're decaying. That's just the facts of life. And one day we're going to all die unless the Lord comes again. It is so important when we look at what's going on in our country. And you and your pastor referred to it. Just think about what's happened in the last weekend. We have a country that is falling apart from the inside out and dealing with external threats that we haven't dealt with in years and years and years. And while one way we're stronger than we've ever been, there are other ways that we're weaker than we've ever been. And where does the church play into this? I mean, think about what's happening tonight. We have a city that is now trying to put the pieces together of a white nationalistic, white supremacy group that is completely anti-biblical, anti-Christ in every way in this world, that brought death and destruction upon a city in this country. And kept the whole country in an upheaval over the weekend. And it will continue on. And while that is happening, you have a dictator overseas that is moments away from changing the course of human history. Now, how are we supposed to respond as the church? Do we bury our heads in the sand? Do we act like none of that matters? Do we live in the pie in the sky by and by and think if we just do this or that, it'll go away sooner or later? It's not going to go away. But we have been given a privilege as the church of Jesus Christ, and that is to make a difference where we are. With all we are, to be the salt and the light in this day and age that God has us living. Here's what I want to talk about tonight. What time is it in Dothan, Alabama? He say, well, it's 7:18. No, I'm asking you, what time is it in Dothan, Alabama? With all that is going on in our country, the church is scrambling, trying to find its way. Scrambling to be relevant. Thinking if we do church this way, we're going to be more effective than if we do church this way. We have so dumbed down the power of the gospel that we believe it has something to do with a song we might sing or the kind of clothes we might wear. The power is not in what we sing or we wear. The power is what we believe. And that is in the power of Jesus Christ. And that He has come to this earth to change the world and to save people from their sins. That's where the power is. But what time is it in Dothan, Alabama? In Romans, the 13th chapter, God has given us a specific word that answers this question. Because in Romans chapter 13, we're going to read a scripture tonight that is going to be the basis of what we want to talk about. Verse number 11, and I'm reading from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. Besides this, knowing the time, it is already the hour for you to wake up from sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Knowing the time, perceiving and understanding what time it is in Dothan, Alabama. This word time here is not the Greek word chronos. Chronos means that it is 7:20. It's what we live by. Your phone, your calendar, the time of your appointments. But that's not the emphasis in Romans 13:11. Time is not the word chronos, but it is the word kairos in the original language in the scripture. Kairos is talking about a decisive moment, a critical point, a changing moment, a decisive point of time. It is when you lock it into the calendar of God, an undeniable and fixed moment in history in which God is doing a special thing. It's a moment which sovereign God is giving us a moment of destiny. It is interesting the way the Apostle Paul ties all this in, because he talks about it in verse 11. He says, you have to know that we are living in a kairotic moment, not chaotic. Even though it's chaotic, it's kairotic, meaning it is a decisive moment in human history, a God moment, if you may. Knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to wake up from sleep. And he does it pointing you to the expectation of the coming of the Lord. That we are closer to the coming today than we have ever been before. Therefore, Jesus is nearer than ever. That should imply to us the need for urgency, to understand that we are not under a chronos calendar. We are living in a kairos moment, in a God moment. Therefore, we do not have to be motivated by the time of a human clock. We should be motivated by the urgency of the hour that God has us living in. I love what Acts chapter 17 talks about when it talks about that God has determined not only when you would live, but where you would live. That's pretty extraordinary, isn't it? Some of you wondered how you got here in Dothan, Alabama. Some of y'all think God forgot your name, your email address, and your phone number. But do you realize that he has you here at this particular moment in all human history? Now you think about it. All these thousands of years that human beings have lived, you are living now. You are a person of destiny. And God's got you living right here. And he's brought all these people all over Southeast Alabama All of them here. He brought them here so that they would seek God and they might find God. And guess what he's got the church here to do? To make sure they do it. God brought those people here to be saved. You believe that? Well, I think he brought them here to get a job. Well, he did, but he brought them here to get saved. He brought them here to meet God. And the scripture says when we understand the urgency of the hour, that it's time for us to wake up. Wake up. Wake up from what? From our spiritual slothfulness, if you may. From our apathetic spiritual condition that exists. And Paul was telling them, God is at work. And when God is at work, don't act unresponsibly. Do not be unresponsive, but responsive to God. God wants to use you in this season and in this moment of destiny in your life and in this moment. I mean, when you imagine how God has you here at this moment in this time to make a difference with your life. What a great, awesome God we have. When I think about how God has placed me where he has placed me, I mean, it's quite remarkable that he has me there from my perspective. It's not remarkable from his perspective. I'm just a guy. I'm just one of his children. But he has me there to make a difference with my life. That's why he's got you where you are. And making a difference with your life doesn't have anything to do with your vocation, your age, your stage in life. It's one thing, you being what God wants you to be, wherever you are in your life. I want you to look with me at another passage of Scripture. It's over in 1 Chronicles for a moment. And I want to bring your attention to this tonight because to me, this is one of the real needs of the hour. As we try to navigate through this moment in history, in this delicate moment in our country, in this fragile moment in the world, in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, the verse says this in verse 32. Look at it with me. Many of you have read this in your life. From the Issacharites, who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. They understood the times and they knew what Israel could do. Now, let me give you a little background here. David was anointed as king, but there was one problem. Saul was still alive and he was still king. But when they began to see young David coming, and he was slaying his tens of thousands, and Saul was only slaying a few thousand, they were jumping off the Saul train as fast as they could jump. And they wanted to come alongside of this new young king by the name of David. It's interesting when you look at 1 Chronicles 12 and you dissect it and you study it, it speaks about how different groups of soldiers, different groups and tribes of Israel would specialize in various things. In fact, there were warriors who were specialists at the bow and the arrow. And they would defeat their enemy because of their ability to fight with the bow and the arrow. In other words, they could fight with a distance or from a distance. There were other soldiers mentioned here from other tribes who were great at hand-to-hand combat. They would be like the front seven of a defensive line and an offensive line, and they would come together and they would battle at the line of the scrimmage because you win the game at the line of the scrimmage. Are you with me now? Y'all understand football. You may not understand the Bible. You got football at Alabama. I got that, all right? But y'all got the Bible too. That's why I love this state. But here's the thing now. There are some groups that do that. But the Issacharites, this is what they brought to the table. Remember, everybody's got a place. Some can do this. Ooh, Some can do this. You and me. You and me. I don't want to go against y'all. Y'all bigger than me. But y'all get out here. We go after it. All right? Good at that. But then there's some like the Issacharites. Guess what they could do? They understood the times and they knew what Israel needed to do. Church, there are times we got to fight the battle with a bow and the arrow, and there are times we got to tuggle with certain matters over theology or issues or maybe the Great Commission where we got to tuggle. I mean, we got to get down the line of scrimmage and get after it because it's important. But a lot of our problems is we just need to understand what time it is around here. And we need to understand the moment that God has us living. And when we understand that we are living in a kairotic moment, that God is able to raise us up to make a difference through our life and through our church family and through our small group and through our choir and through our mission ministries, all that we do. Oh my, it can be a powerful and a dynamic thing that happens. And you know what? They knew what Israel would do, and that is because they understood the value and the power of contextualizing and knowing their community. You know, one of the things that churches, I was talking with a bunch of pastors before the service, and one of the things that pastors oftentimes do, they act like they know their community and they fail to know their community. I mean, you got to restudy your community constantly because your community changes all the time. And even if you don't change, you may have lived in the same house 25 years. But I want to tell you what, this community's changed. Things have changed. This doesn't look like the way it used to look. It's not going to look like this 5 years from now, 10 years from now. The demographics are going to change. We have to, Dothan Church, listen to me, Ridgecrest, we've got to know the times and we got to understand this moment and we got to know our city so we can reach this city with the gospel. We've got to find people to reach who no one's reaching, and we got to be willing to reach them. We got to go to places and fish where nobody else is fishing. Caring for the people that nobody else wants. Loving on the people that it's not about what we get back, it's about what we are able to give to them. So with all of that biblical background, I want to bring us to a close. And I want to challenge you tonight to three specific actions for your life. The first one is a big one. It's a big one that's hot on my heart, been hot on my heart for a long time. Here's what we must do. Knowing what time it is, understanding the critical moment, understanding the moment, understanding the community, here's what we got to do. We must come together now. Now. I hope your church is together. Are y'all together? I hope you're together. You need to fight and stay together. Unity is powerful. And disunity will choke the life of God out of any organization or any church there is. But we must come together now. And we got to join in visible union. Visible union. We got to be together. We got to look like we're together. We got to lock arms in the battle. And we have to join together in what I call extraordinary prayer. Extraordinary prayer. What is extraordinary prayer? Extraordinary prayer is praying more than you ever pray. Extraordinary prayer means what? It means beyond the ordinary. You say, well, I don't pray very much. Well, then that means you don't have far to go to get extraordinary. But we must come together now. Let me put it together for you. We must come together now, joining in visible union in extraordinary prayer. For what? For the next great awakening in Alabama and in America. That's what we must do. We must see the next great awakening in Alabama and in all of America. When is the last great move of God happened in the state of Alabama? Can you tell me about it? When's the last time has God shaken Southeast Alabama? Where, I mean, it was a movement of God that was undeniable. When was it? Let's get a little more personal. When was the last time has God shaken this church? Like, I mean, he shook it. And he showed up in manifested glory and power. May have been yesterday. I don't know. I hope it was. But when's the last time? And when's the last time has that happened to you? When's the last time have you really, I mean, you have been so touched by the power of the Spirit of God in your life? You see, the great need in the church is what we would call renewal, revival, and the great need in the nation is awakening, where masses come to Christ. Wouldn't it be incredible that an awakening would happen in a city like Dothan? 70,000 people? 200,000 to 300,000 people in the southeastern Alabama region? Wouldn't it be amazing if all of a sudden hundreds started being saved? Thousands started being saved. You say, well, that's not going to happen in our day. Well, that's why it's not happening. Do you realize that before any great move of God, always extraordinary prayer precedes it by the people of God? Always. You look at human history, the last great movement of God in this country, where it really shook the nation, was probably in the 70s. I was a boy. It was called the Jesus Movement, really the back end of the 60s. Much like today, racial chaos, anger, protest on campus after campus in this nation. Vietnam looming. All of the challenges, there's so many similarities. Before that, when was it? 1900. But you got to go all the way back to 1857, the revival of 1857, the great prayer revival, when 1 million Americans were saved out of 30 million Americans alive. All because of a layman, not a preacher, but a layman who got a burden to pray. Not about your vocation or your age or your stage or your generation. It's about your heart. About your heart. So I want to challenge you. Pray extraordinarily. Start asking God for spiritual awakening in the state of Alabama. Start asking God for spiritual awakening in this city. Start asking God for spiritual awakening in America. We can sit at home tonight. We can watch all of the channels, and you don't even know which America it really is. It depends on what channel you watch. You go to CNN, it's one America. Fox is another America. MSNBC is another America. The other networks are another America. Go to the web, all kind of Americas exist. What is truth? We don't have a clue what truth is sometimes. But I can tell you one thing that is truth. We're sinful. We need Christ. America's in trouble. We need awakening. That's truth. That I know. And I know what the Scripture says. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And what? The Word of God. The Word of God went out everywhere. And they spoke it with what? Boldness. Boldness. Action number 2. As we pray extraordinarily, we must rise up and win this region to Jesus Christ. We got to go after it, folks. There are lost people who need Christ all over this region of Alabama. Will your church reach them? Is your church willing to pay the price to reach them? Will you do whatever it takes to reach them? Will you go after those, as I said a moment ago, that nobody else wants? Every man, every woman, every child, every adult, every young person? Are you reaching teenagers for Jesus? Are you reaching young families for Christ? Are you reaching children with the gospel? Are you reaching adults of all ages? It's a matter of perspective. God has put this church here to reach this region with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what he's got you here for. Regain the fire, regain the vision, huh? Amen? I mean, that's what it's about. Oh, well, you know, our deal is we like to get together, we like to study together, have a little kumbaya group, sing the like songs we like. It's about us. No, it's not about you. I hate to disappoint you. God's got you here to change the world. God's called you here to reach this city. One of the things that really concerns me is that we have so many churches so concerned about other cities in the world, so many other cities in America. They can talk with more passion and more fire about reaching some country they've never been to or they rarely go to rather than the town that God has them in to reach. That's a little bit contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ that I read. So I want to challenge you. It's all about your perspective. And I know there are other great churches in this city. I know that. I know that. But I still think you've got to ask yourself, it's obvious God's blessed you. It's obvious the hand of God's on this place. So if you don't reach them, here's the question. Who's going to reach them? If you're a pastor of a local church and your church is not this church, listen very carefully. If your church didn't reach them, who's going to reach them? Who's going to reach this city with the gospel? I'll tell you who it'll be. It'll be the church who sees that as their divine assignment by God who put them there sovereignly. That's who will reach them. So you got to regain the vision. Action 3. We must stand up, go forward. Like never before, with urgency. We must stand up, go forward, like never before, with urgency. Urgency. I've evaluated this. I preached through the book of Acts for about 3 years, 3 years ago, went through it in a year and a half with our people on a Sunday morning. I forgot how many sermons it was. 35, 40, I can't remember, a little bit over that. But when I was going through that book, it really mesmerized me when I began to ask myself, what's the difference in that church and the church of today? There's a lot of differences, but what's the difference in the church that the Bible talks about, the early church, in the book of Acts, and my church, and the church of America? What's the difference? Let me tell you what it is. The church of Acts, the early church, operated with a sense of deep urgency. And we just don't get in a rush about anything. We just kind of play business as usual sometimes. Where's the urgency? Where's the urgency? And as I evaluate it, I ask myself even deeper, why not? Well, I think it's a simple issue. I think we have a theological problem. We don't believe people are really lost anymore. We used to believe people were lost, but I'm not sure we really believe anybody's lost anymore. We act like everybody with gray hair goes to heaven. We act like if somebody goes to church on Sunday, they're saved. And we don't see people as either lost or saved. And as I evaluate it, we have what I would call also an eschatological problem. You know what eschatology is? It's the study of last things. It's a study about Jesus coming. Here's what our problem is about eschatology. We don't believe Jesus is coming anymore. And that always speeds up the urgency. Remember what Paul did in Romans 13? What did he say? I know that Jesus is nearer now than ever before. I'm telling you, man, when I was a boy, these guys have probably heard me tell this story. When I was a boy, growing up in that little bitty church down in Texas, my preachers, my pastors, all of them were bivocational now that I look back. Every one of them were. Church running 30 to 40. And boy, they'd come in there and they'd preach. They'd preach out of the book of Revelation. They'd preach about Jesus coming again. When I finally started realizing I was lost, I'd go home at night. No, mom and daddy wasn't gone. I was the baby of the family. Sister already gone. Brother already gone. I'd go home and house would be dark. And I'd tell you what I'd do. I'd call a certain woman in my church, in our church. If she answered, I knew that I was good, that Jesus had not come. I'd hang up. Now, when she answered, but I knew Jesus was coming. I'm telling you, folks, we need to understand the Lord is coming back. And we have a spiritual problem. The church needs to get right with God. I didn't say your church. I said the church. And the church is made up of individual people like you and me. And there are times we need to draw aside and we just need to get right with the Lord, huh? Has that ever happened to y'all? Maybe your heart's grown a little cold. Maybe you've gotten settled. Maybe you've been disengaged over the summer. You know, you were here a couple weeks and you were gone. You kind of slipped and slided all through the summer. Maybe you're here every week, but you're still disengaged. You were bored to death. Don't tell Pastor. He probably knows. You know, I know the way it is. And I want to just challenge you tonight, look at your own heart and have an urgency about looking at your heart. Are you on fire for Christ? Are you really passionate about your faith? Do you love Him like you used to love Him? Or have you left your first love? How important is it to you in your life? Do you really want to see America changed by the power of God? Do you really want to see your city reach for Christ? Do you really want to see your church alive and exciting, making a major difference for the gospel, a greater difference for the gospel? Do you really want to see when church becomes so different that, man, you cannot wait to get here? It's so good. Because you know when you go home, you're going to be different. You ever been in church like that? Yeah. Boy, I tell you, nothing like it. It's just something different when it's not. And here's what I want to tell you tonight. It all starts with you and it starts with me. That's right. Starts with you. It starts with me. I'm accountable for me. You're accountable for you. And I want to urge you tonight, get urgent about where you are with the Lord. These are critical times. This is a kairos moment. We better understand the times so we will know what to do for the Lord is coming back, and we got a lot of people in this region that need the gospel. Father, I pray in Jesus' name tonight that you would move us to being the people of God. I pray you'd move us to be people of prayer, where we call out to you about our own life and we call out to you about our country. We call out to you about this region. Pastor told me tonight, Ronnie, you close the way you feel God wants you to close. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask you tonight, if the Lord has spoken to your heart about the condition of our region, the Lord has spoken to your heart about the condition of this town, the spiritual condition, the Lord has spoken to you about something in your own life, or God has put a burden on your heart to pray for awakening in America and spiritual awakening in the state of Alabama in this particular region of the country, I'm going to ask you right now, I'm going to ask you to do something maybe you haven't done in a long time, maybe you've never done, I don't know. Maybe you do it every day. But I'm going to ask you to leave where you're seated right now. Men, women, students, if you can possibly get on your knees, pray. If you can't get on your knees, God knows that, you stand and you humble yourself. We're just going to let the keyboard play behind us. We're not going to sing. But I'm going to ask you to move to the aisles tonight. One by one, just begin to come, family by family. Oh God, wake my heart up. Oh God, give us revival. Lord God, give us awakening in this nation. Give us awakening in this region. You know what God is doing in your heart, what He's putting on your heart. Cry out to Him now. Cry out to Him. I'm going to ask all of us to stand tonight. And as you stand all over the congregation, many others will make their way and come. As you come or as you're praying, I'm not going to disturb you after this. Talk to God about yourself. Talk to God about your town. Talk to God about your state. Talk to God about your country. I'm going to leave prayer now, and I'm going to ask you to do something. Maybe you do this every week here. Maybe you don't. I'm going to ask you to do it with me. I'm going to ask you to agree in prayer with me. You ever been in a prayer meeting when people agree in prayer together? Boy, you'll hear them say, "Yes, Lord." Or they'll say, "Amen." Oh, they'll say, "Oh, God, please." You ever been with a real saint of God who would yearn before the Father when you pray? That's what I want you to do with me tonight. Father, I come together with my friends here in Alabama. They're burdened for this city. They're burdened for their state. They're burdened for their nation. Some are deeply burdened for their life. We pray tonight that you would wake us up in the Church of Jesus. We pray tonight, even though it's obvious you're with us, we pray for a new, fresh move of the Spirit of God upon our church. We pray for the manifested presence of the Lord upon this house. And God, we pray for our state. Our state is so blessed. But God, our state needs Jesus. Give us a way to take the gospel to this region and the gospel to this state. Give awakening to this state. And God, we pray for our nation. We're so burdened over the disunity and the division. We stand against it in the name of Jesus and by the power of the blood of Christ. We know that Satan is the one that creates suspicion. Satan is the one that creates confusion. And we stand against it in Christ's name, and we put our feet on the sovereignty of God, and we know that you're working, and we pray for a mighty move of God in this nation. Lord, give us a spiritual awakening in this country. And God, tonight we're concerned for the internalities of this country. Such strife and hate and violence. It's of the devil. It's non-godly. And we ask you, Jesus, cure it. You're the only one who can cure it. God, we pray tonight that you would protect our nation tonight. Protect our nation from the threats of terrorism, internal and external. Protect our nation from harm. Protect the people of Guam tonight, the countries of the world so close to North Korea. God, stand against evil tonight, we pray. Cover our military all over the world. Lead our president, our vice president, the members of this cabinet, all of those in national security, elements of intelligence, so important right now in our country. God, would you please protect them, and would you please lead them and give them wisdom from God? And you've told us to pray for them, and that's why we just prayed for them. But we know our greatest need is spiritual awakening, and that's why we're asking you for it. Because we know God can do more in a moment than we could ever do in a lifetime. And that's exactly what we're praying tonight. We give it to you, and we ask you this next Sunday morning, when we come back in this place and we celebrate the power of the gospel and Jesus Christ, that there will just be something different in this room. That God, you'll show up in ways we haven't seen in years and years, or perhaps ever. I pray for the anointing of God upon the pastor, the preachers of the gospel. I pray that they'll just be consumed by the Spirit of God. They cannot wait to get in this pulpit on Sunday. And we pray this and we ask this tonight. And we agree in prayer together tonight. And we do so in the name above all names, the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Bless you, people of God, and bless the name of the Lord tonight. Thank you for letting us come tonight to your church. Pastor, you come and you bring closure tonight, my friend.
Well, good stuff, huh? Amen. Thank you, Dr. Floyd, for blessing us and challenging us. You know, I often think, well, I love this so much, what we do each year. But I often think this, but sometimes we forget that it's not just about us, it's about them. And the word in us transforms us, but it transforms us so we can transform and take that message to our community. Thank you for reminding us again and challenging us again and quickening our hearts. As I sat there, I began to think, God, what can we do? What more can we do here? What more can we do here that makes a difference out there? All this stuff that we did in here is about out there. And so I challenge you, church, to take carefully to heart what Dr. Floyd has challenged us with. I have. I can tell you that. Thank you for bringing that word to us tonight. He asked me last week, he said, Ray, what do you want me to talk about? I said, I'm going to trust you to let the Spirit of God tell you what we need to hear. And I think we heard it tonight. Aren't you glad Dr. Floyd was with us tonight? Thank you. Now, can they come by and shake your hand? Or are you going to be here long enough for that? He's got a plane waiting on him at the airport, but they're flying back to Fayetteville tonight. But he'll be here if you want to tell him thank you. He doesn't have, somebody asked me, are his books here? And the answer is no, but you can get them. You can go on Amazon. You can go on Christian book distributors. You can go in any of these places, and you can find plenty of them, and they are worth reading. All right? Thank you again, Dr. Floyd. I want to lead us in prayer, and then we're dismissed. In fact, Van Gote, you come here, and you lead us in prayer. All right? Yeah, you. Uh-huh. Yeah, with a Texas shirt on, you come. I'm going to let you lead us in prayer. Let me just tell y'all this. This is why I'm doing this. I love Brother Van, and Ronnie, we were driving in from the airport, and Ronnie said, there used to be a guy, he said, when I was in Texas, and he said he was a great encourager to me, and he said, I think he came to Dothan. His name was Goethe, or, no, he didn't say that, but he said, Goethe. I said, Van Goethe. He said, yeah. I said, he's a member of our church. He said, no way. And he said, he was such an encourager to me when I was young in the ministry. And Van is now 103. Is that right, Van? 104. Sue is still only about 35. But at any rate, I want you to pray and close us tonight. And after this, we'll be dismissed. All right? Here you go, Van.
You know, it's as a part of the family of God, you establish relationships that can move apart. But the relationship didn't move. I had the joy of pastoring 5 miles from Ronnie. I was eighth. First son was born, I had to be there. Second son was born, I was going to be there. And the day the worst doctor bedside manners came in to tell his wife she had cancer, I was there, and I went out with him. And we had a little come to Jesus meeting out in the hall. Because the way he told her, that was cruel. No other way to put it. And God taught Ronnie so much through that. I've read the book, and he really is. But just remember that. Wherever we are, we're family. And that's why relationships last. Father, I thank you for the privilege, the joy, the opportunity to be here tonight. I thank you for hearing my brother once again. I thank you for the music. I thank you for the spirit in this service. And Father, I do thank you so very much for my pastor. Keep your hand upon him. Give him strength. He's been going pretty hard. And may he get a good night's rest and sleep. And Father God, continue to use us to tell the good news that Jesus Christ is indeed Lord. In his name I pray. Amen.